Well, let's get started. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, for the privilege we have of gathering, not only as family here, but as your family. Lord, we're so thankful that you chose us. We're so thankful, Father, that you paid the price today on this Good Friday we celebrate. Not the resurrection, but the death of Jesus, the stripes that he took, and all the sacrifice. But here very shortly we'll be celebrating new life, celebrating resurrection, Father. We're so thankful for the love of Jesus.
Yes,
we're so
Lord.
Thankful for your love, and we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit's love. Lord, where would we be without Jesus? Mm-hmm. I don't even want to think about that. Lord, I'm so thankful that the price was paid.
Yes,
so thankful, Father, that we can sit here tonight in the free United States, being able to sit together and pray and listen to your word and to rejoice in all that you've done, Father, knowing that we will see you.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, this is number 10 in our continuing study on the Bible. I think there might be three more, maybe four, but we already have a couple of series ready to go, so we'll just jump right into one. But we've been talking about the Word and how the abiding Word works and how it renews our mind. And this wonderful Bible that God's given us, which is a living Word, we're talking about that. And now we're at a place, I kind of moved this around. I was going to do something else, but I switched it around today because I think this is what we're supposed to, our next step. So we're going to talk today about God's Word is His part of our prayer life. Most people don't realize that God has a part of our prayer life. He has a part. And when we say that, you know, prayer is actually, most people don't realize it, but prayer is really communion. It's a communion with God. That's what the highest form of prayer is, a joining of hearts between the person and God. That's what prayer is. That's how you can pray continuously. The Word tells us to pray continuously. Or it means to be in an attitude of prayer. Prayer is so much more than just asking. Prayer is so much more than just confessing some words. It's so much more than that. It's a union of heart. It's what prayer is. And so many people just feel they got to struggle to get some, what do I say to God, you know? Well, just talk to him like you would anyone else. Just talk about your love for him. Let him talk to you, because he has a part in our prayer life. It's a two-way street. But most of the people have either formulas they do, which is fine to have, you know, formulas, as long as it doesn't just become a formula, as long as it is something that you mean when you're talking to the Lord. But realize you're talking to a real entity. He's more than a person, because a person would be a man, you know. But he's a living entity. He exists, and he's continuously always present in the now. He was present in the now. Right now, he's present in 1800s. Right now, he's present in 3070, if it goes that far. He's present there right now. He's omnipresent. That's what omnipresent means. He's everywhere, all the time, at all times. There's never a time or a place he's not now.
G.K. Chesterton, who is a famous author at the same time as, like, what was that guy who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia? You know who I mean? C.S. Lewis. G.K. Chesterton. He said if time is a line, then God is the page that the line is drawn on.
Yeah, that's very good. But he's even more than that, you know. He's not a page.
Yeah, page, but he's at all points at all times.
And pages have limits, you know. Well, there is no limit to God. But yet, he's very present with us in our now. In God's now, he's walking with Jesus right now, and when he was born, you know. He's walking with Adam yet. It's now. Wherever God is, he's always now. Well, that's what prayer is. It's communion with him. It's allowing him to commune with you and you with him. The way God walked with Adam in the garden, that's what prayer is. Prayer is so much more. It's so much more intimate than what we realize. So when I say God's word is his part of our prayer life, God and his word are one. They're one. So that's why when he gave us this word, he gave us himself.
Mm-hmm.
When he spoke his word, when he gave us his word, he gave us himself. That's why it's so important for us to commune with him in the word. Commune with him when we confess the word. We're communing with him. When we sit and just fellowship by meditating on the word or listening to not just music, but a worship song to the Father and let that be our worship to him. You know, that's communion. When we're walking through the store and we're just loving on the Lord as we walk through our day, when we praise the Lord or just say, I love you, Lord. Whatever we're doing in that moment, we're communing with him. That's prayer. That's the basis of prayer, is communion. It's so much more than just the elements. Now, I'm not knocking the elements. Praise God for the body and blood of Jesus. But that's a basic of prayer also, that type of communion with God. So we need to remember that God and his word are one, that God is love, and that God laid his life down for us through Jesus. He's never stopped his intimacy with us. And that's prayer. That's what prayer is. And it's always two ways. Some of the highest prayer we can do, she does it a lot. She just sits there and listens. Doesn't say anything, but she's listening to the Lord out back. She likes it out on the step out back and things like that. Well, me, I do that. But to me, my intimacy is declaring the word. I declare the word because I know God and his word are one. That's my intimacy. But I'm always praying with him that way. The same way we do. We're intimate with him and let him speak. But still, I'm being his voice. When I speak his word, when I take the promises or declarations and I declare them, I'm his voice in the earth. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through me. That's prayer. That's what prayer is. One of the highest forms of prayer really is to take his word, what he said, because it's him, and speak his desire in the world, to speak it, to be his voice. That's what you do when you confess the word. So prayer is so much more. So we're going to talk today about God's word is his part of our prayer life. We don't think about him having a part in it, but he has the most important part, and he's waiting for us to say something, to declare it, so that he can speak through to us, through us, and to bring that to pass. He wants to bring the word to pass. That's what he said it for. But our part of his prayer life is to declare his word. His part of our prayer life is to take the word that we declare and bring it to pass. That's his part. Our part is to declare. He cannot bring it to pass unless we declare it.
Yeah.
That's our job in time. He wants to bring his will to pass in time. But in order to do that, he has to have a vessel. We are that vessel. That's why tongues is so important when you baptize in the Holy Spirit, because it's his voice. The Holy Spirit is voicing his will. And I don't need to know his will, but I'm voicing his will when I pray in tongues. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking mysteries, the Bible says. It's a mystery to me, but God's speaking through me and bringing things to pass that I may never know what it is. He'll let me know if I'm supposed to. But otherwise, you know, he's speaking. I might be speaking the end times. I don't know. But it's, or I might be speaking healing to somebody in Africa or whatever. But that's part of prayer. I don't need to know what it is. But that's an important, integral part. But always remember, prayer is intimacy with God. Prayer that brings results must be based on God's word. You start with the answer, which is the word. Everything God does through the word and by the word. He's not going to then do anything outside of the Word. And that's why it's his part of our prayer life. So if we start with the answer, we do our research and find out what scriptures or what character of God, what the characteristic of God, his ways are involved in this. And when we speak it, we don't speak the problem. We speak the answer to the problem in a very positive way, because if we believe it, we've already received it. We'll see that as we get further in our study. He already gave us the answer. But when I take the answer and declare it, that's when I connect with that answer. That's when I plug into the power source. That's when my electrical outlet and the cord, the plug on the end of my cord goes into the outlet. When I declare what he said. So real prayer is based on the Word of God and that alone. It's not based on the problem. Prayer is never based on the problem. If it is not word-based prayer, it is not prayer. It's complaining. So, see, when I come to God and I say, God, please help me, please help me, please help me. He wants to. But in all of that, I've not given him anything to help me with. See, he can't do things outside his word. But if all I come with is the problem, oh, Father, they're doing this to me. They're doing that to me. Oh, Father, this is falling apart. That's falling apart. My kids are doing this. They're going to hell. Please help, God. He already has. That's what that manual is about. See, I haven't done anything that the Holy Spirit can work with. I haven't said anything the angels can work with. I haven't said anything that he can work with. He wants to. He'll do what he can. He may do it by sending somebody by me to help me with get myself correct so that he can do something. But otherwise, if I don't do that, instead of praying where an answer comes, I'm actually reinforcing the problem. But what am I doing? I'm declaring the problem. So where's my focus? My focus is on the problem. I haven't given him an answer at all. I haven't given him anything. My faith is totally in that problem. That's why I'm praying the problem. I don't think I have faith in the problem, because after all, I'm supposed to be talking to God.
Well, this is something, it's not, I mean, maybe it's a kind of a parallel story, but person that they were a councilman, I read this in a magazine, that when people would come to him with their problems, you know, they want to make an appointment with this guy, get an answer, okay, what's your problem? Generally it was a person that was giving them trouble that they couldn't get along with or something like that, like a in a business or a company or something. And he'd say, well, this is what you see as your problem, this person, or what this person did. What would you do to solve this problem? And don't tell me, kill that person, okay? Don't tell me, fire them or do whatever. What's the problem? How could we fix this problem? What do you want me to do about it? And so most of the time, they'd come up with their own answer, you know, how to deal with it, how to handle it and everything. Or an answer that, you know, we need to invest money here. We need to do something about this, you know, situation. Yeah. The roof leaks or something like that, you know. What do we need to address here? How would we go about that? So the person would pretty much answer their own problem. Well, we need money for this, or we need to put this person in another room or something, you know, or all that. And it's like they do psychologists, you know, they make you figure out your own answer.
And that's really not what God is doing.
And find out if what we're focusing on is just, I hate that guy.
Exactly.
You know, we need to change that.
Maybe it's you that needs to be changed, not the person, you know. But see, God wants us to go to the manual. Well, he's already said. Now, you may not see chapter and verse related specifically to your problem, but you'll see a characteristic or you see one of his ways. And as he is, so are we in this world. His ways are supposed to be our ways. So as we look in his word, there'll be circumstances and situations with other people in the word that went through something similar. Mm-hmm. Well, what did God do there? What's he saying through this? What's this parable saying about this circumstance? There's answers for everything in the Bible.
Yeah.
But we don't want to spend the time to do that. Well, if you go to, like she said, a major person that's in authority, and you're dealing with a specific issue, what does the statutes say about that? Have you found out what the city laws and regulations have to say about that? Is this person that or circumstance actually a problem? Or is it functioning within the statute? Is there something that is out of order? Well, I know they have to do their own research, but so do you. If you're bringing something that's not a real problem, that you're at fault, well, he can't do much about that, or if it's not within his jurisdiction. Well, we need to find out when we go to God. I mean, if all I can go with is, God, please grant me revelation knowledge here. I know there's a problem. I don't know how to solve it, but the Holy Spirit does. You do. What is my part here? How do I pray about this? What does the Word say about this? Please lead me and teach me. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to teach us. And then there's books. There's all kinds of different things we can do. We can pray with someone. We can ask that. But don't bring the problem. In that case, if you don't know what the problem is, the answer to the problem is revelation knowledge. The answer to the problem is to have the Holy Spirit show you what the essence of that problem is. And if he doesn't, then there's a reason he doesn't. But you can pray for revelation knowledge. You can pray for understanding. You can pray. There's all kinds of different ways to pray. But remember, it's a two-way street. You ask, he gives. You see, so, but we need to be willing to come to, even if we don't have time to research, we can still bring his ways. We know, Lord, this is a real problem, but we know also, Lord, that you are mercy. You are mercy. Whatever this person has done, you will always respond with the word and with mercy. So what's my response here, Lord? Show me what I do, please. So you're not complaining.
No.
You're not bringing the guy as a problem to you. You genuinely want to be and help be an answer for that person. So remember that. God's word is always part of our prayer life. Prayer that brings results must be based on God's word, and that's how you base it on the word. When you don't know chapter and verse, there's always something you can bring. One thing you always bring when you pray is thanksgiving, because that's receiving. When you pray, don't leave that prayer room without thanking him. And when you leave, remember that thanksgiving sealed it.
Amen.
It sealed it. That you believe, you thank him for you because you received. So it's in your hands. We'll see that later. Real prayer is based on the word of God and that alone. It is, if it is not word-based prayer, it is not prayer, but complaining. Answered prayer will always be based on God's word. It's always based on his word. He will not answer outside of his word. Find out what God's word says about the situation and bring that to the throne of God when you pray. The word of God is God's part of our prayer life. Do you pray only when you have a need or a problem? A lot of people pray that way. They wait till they have a problem and then they pray. Well, you're going to have a hard time with answers. For one thing, you won't know the circumstance and you won't know God's heart if that's all you do is pray when you got a problem. What are you doing? You're praying the problem. Prayer should be a daily, moment-by-moment relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. It should be a moment-by-moment experience. Our moment, every now moment, should be filled with relationship with God. That's what prayer is, like I said. Whatever the circumstance is, we don't always have to be asking for stuff. We should have times when we just love on Him.
Yeah.
But Lord, I love you. That's prayer.
Smith Wigglesworth said, someone asked Smith Wigglesworth, do you know who he is? He was an old timer.
He was a very strong faith man.
How long he prayed. And he said he never prayed longer than 15 minutes at a time. And, you know, I mean, they're thinking hours and all that. Yeah. And so that, but he said, I never go more than 15 minutes without praying.
Yeah,
so he prayed continuously.
He's praying continuously. That's what he said. Okay, never pray the problem. Always pray the answer, which is God's living word. The reason you do that is you automatically got your answer when you pray the answer. Even if you don't know the specific answer, you can always pray for revelation, and He will grant that. The most important vital keys to a successful prayer life are our love walk, the abiding word. Notice I didn't say the word. I said the abiding word, and our faith. Now, what are the three core elements that I talked about sometimes back? I said everything, no matter what it is, if God does it, there's those three core elements. Love, the Word, and faith are always there. There's never a time, if God's doing it, or if it's going to work, that love, faith, and the Word are not present. They're always there. They have to be present. If any one of those three are not present, or we're falling short in one of those areas, our prayers will not work. We're going to be talking to a brass ceiling, so to speak, because we're out of communion. Love, the Word, and faith are always part of our prayer life. They're what links to, they are absolutely inseparable. They cannot be separated. And they're exactly the elements to prayer. So we're going to look at those three quickly. They're all three series in and of themselves. But we're going to look at those three real quickly. And the first one is our love walk. So you do it, Mother. You
what?
Read it. You read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. If I read it, that'll be another series.
You start stop on every word.
So if you read it, I'll comment a little bit and move on. If I read it, I'll stop on each line.
Okay, do you want me to do the...
Amplified.
Amplified.
That's the only one that qualifies for this.
Okay. Do you want me to read the whole chapter?
Not the whole chapter, just 4 through 8a.
Love endures long. You guys got it?
No, wait, before you start. As you listen to these are checkpoints. This will tell you whether or not you're walking in love. If you are not, it will directly affect your prayer life. It'll affect your ability to get answers. It'll affect your communion. And it'll affect the other two elements. So as she reads this, you'll see it's set out in points. So you can use them as checkpoints. And correct yourself if you're out of order somewhere as you go. We'll talk about that later. Go ahead, Mom.
1 Corinthians what? Chapter 13.
Verse 4.
And 4 through 8. Now, the Amplified is going to read different because it's bringing out the points Amplified.
So it gives more details.
More about detail.
What
and they're
means and
they're
more
very important to get the Amplified version of it. Go ahead, Mother.
Verse 4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end.
Now you can see why I take off on every point. Because I love this chapter, and it means so much to us. And it is vital. I will tell you this, it's probably the most important area of our Christian walk. Why? Because God is love. And as He is, so are we in this world. This is who we are. This is supposed to be our character. It's God's character. It's His ways. And it's supposed to be our ways. It's so vital to us that the Word says that our faith will not work without it. So if our faith will not work, where's our prayers at? If our faith doesn't work, then the Word's not working for us. And if the Word's not working for us, we're in trouble, because it's not going to work. That's why it's so vital. And the thing we need to remember is the lover Himself lives in us.
Amen.
God is love, and His own Spirit abides in us, inside of us, inside our spirit. And He's the teacher. He'll teach us how to do this. And not only will He teach us, He will empower us to do it. But see, we have to do the yielding to it. We have to yield to it. We have to ask, believe, and receive. We have to walk it in our now moment. Now, if I was to look at this, most people do it this way. They look at all of those things and just forget it. I can't do that. Mm. There's no way I can do that. You can in your now moment.
One at a time,
Nate. That's exactly right. The only place you can do this is in your now moment. And the only way we can do it is by the blood of Jesus, by the Word of God, and by the Spirit. We have to be willing and ready to correct ourselves in our now moment. We don't have to worry about accomplishing all of this in our now moment. We just need to do the one that's involved right now in our now moment. And as I do right now, whatever area I'm working on here, maybe somebody's angry at me or doing something bad to me. Well, it says to think the best of every person. So what am I supposed to do in my now? Whatever he's doing against me, I'm supposed to think the best of him. Well, you know, I know he's done that before, but he's living a hard life. He doesn't know Jesus. And he's got so many problems in his life. I need to give him mercy. That's my job right now, so I'm going to give him mercy. I'm not going to take account of that. I refuse to take an account of that. In other words, I'm not going to let that bother me. I refuse to do it. Now your emotions are going to rise up and you're going to want to strike back. And that's when you do battle with your mind. Mm-hmm. But you do battle with this. For it is written. Satan, for it is written. I'm supposed to think the best of every person and take no account of a suffered wrong. I rebuke you, Satan. I refuse to take an account of that. I will not be mad at that person. I refuse it. And that's what you got to do. That's what you do when you take those thoughts captive, it says. You're taking it captive based on a word. That's why this is so important to us. This should be our everyday life, our everyday checklist as we walk through our daily moments. I can tell you by experience, when people start gossiping, you'll wind up doing that, what I just said. You'll justify it. You'll make excuses for them. When your mind is saying, now you know that's not true. This guy is always that way. He will never change. Well, I don't believe that. I changed. Jesus healed me. Jesus restored me. He died for me. He died for him. There's no such thing as an impossible case. Mm-hmm. So that's a lie. I refuse that. He will not always be that way. You see, you got to do battle with this. If you don't, you'll go down that pathway and you'll get mad. You will allow your emotions to take over and you'll wind up failing and you'll wind up down the road trying in a moment of dire need. You'll be praying and wanting something done here, and that's blocked it. And you won't put the two together. You unplugged and you didn't know you did. But if you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll remind you of that. Now, what do you do about that? Oh, no, I guess I can't get my prayers answered. No, you repent. Father, I'm sorry. I let my emotions rise up there and I sinned. I shouldn't have not done that. I should have thought the best of that person. After all, he's not born again. He doesn't know you like I do. I should be showing forth your mercy, not anger. I should not be getting on board with that. That's not you. That's Satan. That's his ballpark. So I repent of that, Lord. I repent of it. And I thank you, according to 1 John 1:9, I'm forgiven. And you've cleansed me of that. And Lord, if there's anything I need to do there, if you want me to talk to him or pray for him, or if I need to apologize to him, whatever I need to do, you show me and I'll do that. And then I'll pray for him. So pray for him. He may not have anybody praying for him. You know, and instead of confessing what you don't want in the guy's life, start confessing what you do want in his life. That's the same thing as praying the problem. You know, pray the answer. You know God's mercy has been extended to that man. Well, start seeing it working. You might be the only one being able to see it. But by the Holy Spirit, you start seeing him walking right with God. It might take a year or so, but you'll see the change. You'll see the change. Or you'll see him in a totally different light anyways. This one nun, they were cloistered nuns or whatever they were.
Cloistered nuns.
They prayed all the time together, and you're supposed to be quiet, okay, and no noise. And this one nun, she's always doing a rosary, but she's always tapping it.
She was rattling it.
Rattling it all the time. And it just bugged that nun. They always sat in the same places and was always behind her, and it just really bothered her. And she started getting irritated about that right in the middle of prayer. Always was, same thing every day. And finally she started loving the woman. Mama, you finish.
Well, that's, yeah, that was St. Teresa the Little Flower.
Yeah, I know you knew more about it
than I did. She was in the convent there, and this one old nun, you know, they had them great big rosaries, and she was always rattling it all against the back of the pew because they kneeled down, you know. And so she told the Lord, she said, I can't stand this. You're going to have to do something about this. And I don't remember exactly what the Lord told her, but she began to pray for that old lady and be thankful that she was there. And she said before long, when she prayed for her, she began to miss it if she wasn't there. She knew, you know, she thought maybe something was wrong with her, and she'd go check on her and see her, you know, and was very thankful when she would hear that little rattle that this lady came back.
She changed herself.
Yeah.
She changed her attitude towards that. Well, Satan was trying to get her disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Instead,
I think she said it turned out like music or something. Yeah, you know, she really
that story touched me because that's love in action. That's how our prayers are supposed to work. That's what we're talking about here in thinking the best of every person, taking no account of a suffered wrong. And the other one was one that I've heard on the tape. This guy in prison for a very long time. I guess they were lifers or whatever, but they were in their prison for a long time. And this one old man there, he was crippled. And this one guy, he loved the Lord. He got born again in there. And he volunteered for the infirmary, you know, the hospital in the prison.
Yeah, because them old lifers, they get old and
bad health. He was in there ministering to people. That's what he done. He loved doing it for people. So he loved the Lord. And he wasn't a doctor, but he was ministering to people in there. And this one old guy, he was real, real mad. He was a lifer. And he was crippled up, and he had an old cane with him all the time. And he got really sick. And he was in there a long time. And this guy would go, anybody who goes around him, he'd hit him with the cane. So it was hard to do anything with the old guy. But this guy decided he was going to love him anyways. So he kept getting hit with the cane, but he kept coming back. And finally the old guy asked him, why do you keep coming back? And he told him. The old man got born again. You know, because he thought the best of him. Mm-hmm. He come back anyways. And he let the love overcome the hurt and the pain. Because he knew this old man's hurting. He's not doing that just because he does it. The old man's hurting more than physically. So he decided he was going to love the guy anyways. Sometimes that's what we got to do. But we got to make a change in us. He could have gotten mad at the guy and said, okay, take care of yourself. You know? And why he did that, I don't know. But I do know the other guy followed the Lord. And he did love the Lord. He loved this man. Just like that lady did. Sounds like deeds would be a small thing. But if he, every day for decades, you know, it's not a small thing. So anyways, this love walk is vital to our prayer life. It's absolutely, totally vital. There's nothing more important. You could have the word memorized and quote the word back to God, but have an area of your love walk that's out of order. It cuts it. It will either hinder or completely prevent your prayer from being answered because you're out of love.
Jerry Savelle shared this on a tape of us in two. When he said, you know, he said, he compared it to like you're driving in a car. You're driving to your goal and you get a flat tire. Well, if you don't stop and fix the flat, you can continue to drive and you'll get there, but it'll take you longer. And before long, something else will go wrong.
Yeah.
You can't treat your car like that.
It'll tear your axles up, your bearings.
If you go ahead and stop and fix it, you can continue on your way without any hindrance.
Amen. So a love walk is vital. I can't stress that enough. That's why I keep coming back to it. Almost every time I minister anywhere, I talk about it because it's so vital. And we treat it so lightly in our daily life. And you think, well, it's just simply not possible for us to do that. It is.
Well, and I'll give this example. I showed you our prayer pages and stuff that we do. Well, we have prayers that we pray every morning. See, the Bible says when you pray, you first of all, give thanks for all men and pray for the people who are in authority, kings, rulers, mm-hmm. governors, and that. And we pray every morning, him and I, for Kim Jong-un, Xi Jinping, Vladimir Putin, Ibrahim Raisi, King or Prince Saud, and Volodymyr Zelensky, President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, Governor Michael Parsons. We name these people. We look up names of people. If we don't know who's running this country or what this problem is, you can find that easily on the internet. You know, is anyone else doing that?
Well,
is
no,
it just us?
We can't pray about them and then talk against them.
Yeah.
We're just going to say something.
We want those guys set free.
Amen. You was going to say something, Nick?
No, it was just the... We so often have, you know, just things we came up with, the ways we're used to acting, the ways we respond, and it's just built in.
Yeah.
It is. It's automatic.
It is.
We don't think about it.
It's just a habit.
We just react.
Yeah.
But when we focus on this.
Yes.
And understand it, even just a piece at a time, one piece at a time, continuously, again and again, you suddenly realize the weight.
Yeah.
Of all that is just left.
It just left.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it's, you suddenly realize how heavy a load that you had carried that whole time.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's amazing the peace that you can walk in right in the middle of the darkest storms because you're doing this on a daily basis.
My sister was calling it several years ago, and I think I shared this at church. I don't know if everybody heard it, but she was always telling me about this one woman who was giving her so much trouble in the church. And finally, one day, I asked her, I said, well, are you praying for her? She said, what? I said, you know, somebody like an enemy. Jesus said we have to love our enemies.
That's what it says.
And bless and do not curse. Well, she goes like, that's a twist. I said, but if you want some good results here, you've been calling me up for weeks telling me about this every single time. I know this woman's really bugging you. I said, maybe have you tried praying for her? She said, well, she was getting pretty desperate. I guess she better start praying for her.
As I come to that.
And like, when she come and call me again, and I'd say, are you praying for that lady? Yeah, I'm praying for that lady. And one day she called me up and she said, you'll never believe this. Her husband got a promotion and they're moving to Nebraska.
So see, she was blessed. They got a new place to live. Yeah. They both got blessed. See?
And it still solved the problem.
Is she still evil person? I don't know.
She could have tried thinking that.
She should be thankful, you know.
She could have thought of that thought for months and never come up with that answer.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah.
But you got to watch yourself. Well, I am praying for him. And then go right out and you talk about him, cuss him out and everything else. You didn't get nothing because you cut it off the moment you stepped out of that prayer room. But if you got to have corresponding action with what you're praying for, that means you can't raise your mouth against them now. If you want the change, then you have to sow yourself. And that's what it takes. So I want to move on from there because I knew I wasn't going to get very far when I started talking about that. It's a good thing I really had you ready. So we know that our love walk is 100% vital. It's the top priority in our prayer life and in our life, period. And it's also tied directly to faith, as we've read already in previous messages, Galatians 5:6. I'm just going to read it quickly. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, and that's the law, or carnal, but only faith, activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. King James says, faith worketh by love. New King James says, faith working through love. But faith is activated, energized, expressed, and works through love. So if my faith is not working, the word can't work. And if I'm not walking in love, then my faith cannot be activated, it cannot be energized, it cannot be expressed, and it cannot work. Why? Because I've got unforgiveness going on in my life. I'm mad at somebody. I'm holding a grudge. Those are things that hinder or prevent our prayer life from working. And we think God's not doing anything. He can't. Because you blocked him. See, and we don't realize it's our fault.
No.
We don't realize that I have a part to play. It's a two-way street. God's already in sync. He's already paid the price. It's already done. I'm just plugging into it. Well, if I'm not walking in love, I can't plug in.
Right.
If I can't plug in, I can try all day long turning off and on that light switch or that lamp. It's not going to work till it's plugged in. And that's the way prayer is. If I'm going to pray, I must want an answer. And if I'm going to God and expecting Him to do His part, He already did. I need to realize that. So now, what do I need to correct myself on? How do I need to change? What do I need to focus on here? You focus on your love walk, and you focus on your faith. The second one there is the abiding word. And we've talked a couple of messages about the abiding word, so I'll just read the scriptures so they're on this tape. John 15:7. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. See the conditions there. We want to ask what we will, but if our love walk is out of order, and if the word's not abiding, I cannot get my prayer answered. It's not the word I read, although it helps. It's the word that abides. It's the word that I have in my heart. It's the word that I'm confessing, that I'm believing. And if my love isn't working, then I cannot believe that word that I'm confessing. Well, I believe it. Well, you might acknowledge that it's true, but you're not believing it because faith works by love. And if your love is out of order, you cannot apply your faith to that word because it's not going to work. Your love is out of order. That's why it's so important that we keep a check on that. But if I, for one thing, if my love work is out of order, the word's not abiding. What is abiding? Hatred, anger, bitterness, fear, worry, unforgiveness, that's abiding. Because I'm focusing on that. Well, I want an answer. Well, you're going to have to do something about that. You're going to have to repent of that. You're going to have to correct yourself in those areas. Well, I can't handle all of those things. They're too many. Yeah, you can in your now moment. When unforgiveness comes up, repent. Forgive. Voice it again. Anger comes up at that same person, repent. Do something loving. Pray for the person. But those are now moment activities. That is how you do that. This is a now moment action. And the now moment is what counts. Okay, so the other one is 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So there, whatever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments or His word. We do the word. And we do those things that are pleasing to Him. Pleasing in His sight, not our sight. Pleasing in His sight. Well, what is that? That's the love walk. The other part of that is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So here in those scriptures, we see what? We see the word working. We see love working. And we see faith working. Jointly. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Why? Because God is love. And my love walk is out of order if I don't have faith. So I can't please Him because God is love. You see how it works? And the word works by faith. Faith applied to the word. So now let's look at faith. We talked about our love walk. We talked about the abiding word. And now we look at faith. Those three always working together. Remember that we have already stated that our faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. Faith activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. Matthew 21:22 says, "And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive." Matthew 21:22. This is Amplified Classic. Whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith, so your love walk is working. You don't have anything out of order with your love. That's working. and really believing. So now I can apply my faith to the word. Mm-hmm. And now I'll receive it. Love, the word, and faith working together. You always set your faith on the word, not the problem. I can't say that enough. Like I continuously talk about faith and continuously talk about the word and about love. You always put your faith on the word. Most people will pray the problem thinking they're applying the word to their problem. They see, well, my faith is in getting that done. No, it's in the wrong place. Your faith is not getting that done. That's not where your faith goes. Your faith goes to the word.
Your faith is in the word.
It's in the word that brings that to pass. My hope is in the word to accomplish this. My faith is in the word to accomplish this. And my patience is moving towards the two together, bringing them together. Because I continuously see it happening. I got an inner image of it working. But my faith cannot be applied to anything but the word. That's where it goes. And that's why faith don't work without love. God and his word are one. If you're going to apply faith to the word, you're applying it to love at the same time, because God is love. God and his word are one. I hope this is making sense. I'm trying to say it in a number of different ways that it jars our thinking, because this is the way I found out about it, and I still got to jar my thinking. Because every now and then I catch myself applying my faith to the problem. It's what we do. Well, we want this changed, don't we? You can't change it that way. You can change it by applying your faith to the word and let hope build the image. That'll work. Hope is absolute, earnest expectation. That's Bible hope. So I'm absolutely expecting this to happen because of the faith that I have in the word.
And what the word says, his stripes I'm healed.
The word says.
Whatever it says, you know.
And that builds my hope. So now because I got faith in the word and hope are working together to build an image. And as long as I'm applying my faith where it belongs, hope's got something to work with. Mm. But if I take my faith away from the word and try to put it on the problem, I unplug. Especially if I'm not walking in love. I hope it makes sense, because the three are always present. The three always function together. You always set your faith on the word, not the problem. And we'll see that, boy. We'll see that in this next one, and I'm probably going to have to, I won't be able to spend much time on this. But if you've been around Kenneth Hagin long enough, you know this anyways. But Mark 11, 22 to 26. Okay, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Okay. Have faith in God. Have faith in the word. If you have faith in God, God is love, God and his word are one. So you could say have faith in the word, couldn't you? And that would be accurate, because God is love, God and his word are one. So faith works by love. So you can see the three right there. Have faith in God, have faith in the word, have faith in love. Four. This is why you have to have faith in God. For assuredly. Now, if Jesus says assuredly, what's assuredly means? I mean, this is an absolute. This is the way it is.
No ifs, ands, or buts. It's
assuredly, I say to you, whoever. Now, who qualifies as a whoever? I qualify as a whoever. That leaves nobody out. Whoever does what? Says. Notice you got to declare it. Say what? You say the word. Whoever says to this mountain, what's your mountain? Well, I got this running hippopotamus or whatever it is. That's a mountain for you. You speak the word to your mountain, whatever it is. What do you say? Be removed and cast into the sea. What gives me the right to say that?
This.
Love, the word, and faith. The word tells me to, or it is written. Jesus said to do it, or it is written. I am to declare the word, so I have total, absolute authority to do it. I say, be removed, running hopagondas. I say that to it. I talk to it. I talk the word to it. It bows its knee to the word. It has to bow to the name, but God has exalted his word above his name. So when I speak the word to it, it's the same as if God himself said it. That angel takes a hold of that. That entity, whatever it is, bows to it because it has to. And it has to obey it. Now, well, I didn't see it happen. It's happening. As long as I apply the word and keep it applied, that mountain will obey it.
That's where Thanksgiving comes in. That's how you believe you receive.
That's how you do it. You take that scripture now. You don't look to see if it's happening. You take the scripture and thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that running hopagondas is leaving my life. The process has begun. And my earnest expectation, my hope, is the fact that there's a time coming when it'll no longer be in my life. The process has already begun. Now, it might be instantaneous. It might not be. But as long as you hold it, hold that word to it with thanksgiving, it will obey. It hasn't got a choice, you see. There's no choice in it. It cannot resist the word. It has to go. Because the word's absolute truth. I need to know that. But notice what Jesus said next. Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Doesn't say he won't have a few mind problems. You control your mind with your heart, with the word, the abiding word that's in your heart. Does not doubt in his heart.
That, the cure for that doubt, I'm telling you, I learned this. This was revelation, and it works in my life. It revolutionized my prayer life. The cure, and it's an absolute cure for doubt, is thanksgiving.
That's exactly right.
Once I thank God that what I said is going to come to pass because he said it would, the doubt can't come in. It'll say, oh, that's not. I already believed that I received that. Yeah. I already thanked God for that.
Yeah.
He's doing his part. I'm doing my part.
You don't continuously
the
ask for it to be done.
Come back.
You settle that.
Well, you can't truly be thankful for a future event. That's where the doubt disappears.
Yes,
exactly.
Understand
it's right now that that's we have
why,
believed that we received.
That's why, that's Hope's job out there. That's why, Nate, that you apply the word and you apply your faith to the word. Because faith is now. It can't operate anywhere else. The word is now. They can only function here. Now, hope can apply to the word, but the word can be both future and now. But faith can only be now. So you cannot thank him unless you really applied your faith to the word. This is how God showed me this. Okay, you walk up to somebody you don't know. I don't know Nate, never saw him in all my life. I said, thank you, Nate. What's your response?
For what?
For what?
Yeah.
Why? Why do we respond that way? It's because whenever you say thank you, it's automatic, even in natural, everyday life, we think we've received something.
Yeah.
You're only thankful when you receive something. So when I apply the word, or my faith, to the word, followed with thanksgiving, I have said I received this in my now moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Your word says, thank you, Lord.
It's a weapon of our warfare.
It is so strong.
Because the next thing you know is your carnal mind's going to say, you did not.
You didn't.
You didn't receive that.
No.
You have to give, in the giving of thanks is the renewing of our mind concerning
that. That's where hope, see, my hope is activated now. It's absolute earnest expectation. They work together. The way that love, the word, and faith work together. Our faith, the word, and hope work together, connected by patience. You see, so that's how this works. That's why it's so vital. That's what Jesus is saying here. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whatever it is, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now that's absolute. It can't be changed. He will have it as long as he believes.
And has the abiding word.
And has the abiding word. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. See, I can use this as an absolute every time. Satan, I doubt your doubts. I refuse to receive doubt here because the word says, for it is written. You can go right here. This got Kenneth Hagin healed off of a deathbed without knowing anything and anybody teaching him. God taught him this. But there's an end that follows that statement that you cannot forget. And whenever you stand praying, that don't mean stand up, although you can. Stand as in the armor, stand therefore. In other words, stand. I'm not going to move from this place. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. He's not being mean and omni. So in that particular scripture, you can see love because of forgiveness. If you're not walking in love, you're not going to forgive. But if you're walking in love, you will forgive. That's what Jesus is saying. Check up on your love walk. So here we see love, the word, and faith working together. Every place you see this, you can see love, the word, and faith working together. But I hope this has helped you. That this is so vital to our understanding of prayer. I don't want to pray and not get an answer.
Right.
But it all comes down to you can't be holding any kind of resentment against anybody.
Yeah. Your mind's going to say, well, you don't. You do.
Yeah.
You do. No. Forgiveness is by faith also.
It's an act of
the word says to forgive. So based on what is written by faith and trust in the word, I forgive. Has nothing to do with an emotion. Your emotions will tell you you haven't because you still get irritated. Those emotions will leave.
So you should do that all the time.
Every time it shows up to the least little bit, you take the word and do battle with it. That's how you tear down those strongholds. The word is what tears them down. Mm. See, but love, faith, and the word are involved. You see, you're forgiving because it's a commandment. There's no choice in it. You have to. You're forgiving, but you're doing it out of love for the Father. You're doing out of love for the Son. You're doing out of love for the Holy Spirit. And you're doing it out of love for the person.
You know that scripture in, I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, or 1 Chronicles chapter 7, about Solomon's was praying and God told him he would give him his wisdom and he would tell him, you know, all the blessings of the temple. And he said, if my people who are called by my name, and anybody who ever quotes that or puts it on a poster, I've seen posters with that on and everything, about seek my face and so forth, they always leave out this one line, if they'll turn from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to bring that one up.
See, if you're walking the love walk, you'll automatically turn from them. See, if you're walking the love walk, you're not going to cheat on your wife. You're not going to do that.
No.
If you're walking a love walk, you're not going to steal.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to gossip. Because you know the person's not here and you don't know their heart. You have no right to say anything against them. No matter
what. I'll
tell
you what else you're going to do. You're going to go 50 miles an hour out here no matter how many people pass you up.
Exactly right. Because the love walk says that. See, if you don't...
Even if you get stopped.
Yes.
St. Pat's Nut, I took her home. And I was going out here 50 miles an hour and says, stay in lane, no passing. Zoom, zoom, zoom. So we got all the way up to town. Mm. And you know, do you do the interstate?
Not lately.
Okay.
I know what you're talking
right
about.
Right up the middle of the lane where you turn off that first road to go up to Rolla. They put a rumble strip right up the middle of that.
Right in the middle of that lane.
Right in the middle of the lane.
Yeah. That's
and awesome. I don't like to hit that thing with my little kiddie car. You know, people with pickup trucks and muscle cars and cop cars and all, they don't care. But I have already spent $1,200 on a suspension system under that baby. And I don't want to hit potholes and stuff. So what do? I kind of go over so I can straddle that thing till I can get on the ramp. Guess what? The guy pulls me over. You didn't know about this, did you? Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you? No, she was in a car with me. And he wanted to see all my stuff. And I'm like, what in the world? He said, ma'am, you were weaving. I said, you're darn right I was weaving. I said, I was trying to miss that stupid rumble strip that they put right up the middle of the lane down there. Well,
he can do that weaving.
St. Pat's. Maybe I was drunk.
Yeah, that's exactly what St. Pat's Day.
Yeah. And he didn't even, I mean, he took my license, but when I went to find my insurance paper, it wasn't there. I've been driving for I don't know how long. Well, it was due in November. I don't know what happened to it. I didn't have it in my purse and I didn't have it in my car. But he never said a word. When he found out it was just two old ladies going home from a Bible study, right? So he didn't bother us, and you know, nothing on my showed on my license or anything. So he just said, okay, and away we went.
But love him anyway.
But you know, I think an angel did that just so I could find out I didn't have those papers.
Could very well be.
So as soon as I got home, I got them. I've had them ever since.
But this is so important to us, and I would.
But I'm still going to go 50 miles an hour out there on that interstate. Well, you know, I want my prayers answered.
The point is, you obey, and the Word tells us to obey the laws of God and man. And if that law is out there, if it's posted, I should obey it. Now, most people don't, but they should. Mm-hmm. Honestly, they should, because if you're walking in love and you know it, there's going to be a little uneasiness inside you. You know you're wrong. And if you know, that's the Holy Spirit. See, well, what does it matter? They give you 10 miles over. It doesn't say that.
They don't maneuver.
It doesn't say, okay, 10 miles over. It doesn't say that. It says speed limit.
It's so, a limit.
And that limit is hard. I might be
look
talking to somebody here. I don't know. But
no, but, you know.
But it's important that we do this because it's the little things that will send us, what will box us up.
And some people will say, well, that's a man's law. Yeah, but when I signed my name to that thing, that's when I said
would.
I would do that.
Obey it.
You know?
That's what you say. So these are, the more you walk this out, the more those things will show up in your life. Anybody that's not interested in walking in love, it won't make any difference to them. But it will affect their life.
Yes, it will.
But if you're determined to walk right with God, if you're determined to change your life, then He's going to start showing you these things. They seem small, but they're really not. Spiritually,
they're
not.
Forget that, be not deceived, God is not mocked, but we're going to reap.
Well, I don't want to reap a speedy car. Well, that's not what we're talking about. See, what you're sowing is disobedience.
It's a bad seed.
It's a bad seed. And somewhere along the line, Satan will use that against you, and you won't know why or how or even link it up. We don't want to give him a doorway. See, that's the whole point of the matter. I want my prayers answered.
Amen.
Now, I know there's things that I need to correct in my life. There always will be. There's things in yours that you're going to have to correct. Well, don't worry about the things till they get here. Don't worry about them at all. Change your now moment. If you're driving down the road and it says 55 and you're wanting to keep up with the traffic and everything else, but it says 55. So in that now moment,
in the middle of St. Louis,
you're going to have to make a decision to obey that or not to obey it. The next decision you make in your next now may be bigger. But if you don't obey in the small one, it'll be harder to obey in the big one. You know, so it's a lifestyle that you do. So just deal with your now moments as you go. Correct yourself as you go. And you'll find out that you're way down the road with your one-up walk. And all of a sudden, your faith is working. Prayers are getting answered. You know, people come to you because now your prayers are answered. Mm. But why are they answered for you and not for me? Because you're doing this. You stay plugged in. It'll work for them too.
Yeah. Amen.
I ain't going to put all that time in there. I can't do it. Well, we better. Didn't get as far as I wanted to, but I never did.
Never do.
Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for this message tonight. I'm thankful that you're teaching us, Lord. I know sometimes it sounds like we're nitpicking, but I know we're not. Because these are things that are important to you. And they're hindrances. And you don't want any hindrances in our life. You show them to us, Father, because they're important to getting our prayers answered. You want to be able to pour through us 100%. And Lord, we want that. So teach us, Lord, in our now moments, teach us. Help us to make right decisions. Bring these things to our remembrance by your Spirit as we go through our daily life and our now moment. And put a shining light and a beacon on them, Lord, that we can make right decisions. We thank you for the renewing of our minds, which we've been talking about. And we thank you, Father, that you're teaching us how to have this word abiding in our hearts and lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
And we pray for Letitia, too, that
yes,
she gets
Lord.
Better.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Back here.
Yeah, and we pray a special blessing over Georgia. She's been such a blessing to us, and we will miss her, most certainly. And we know that she's always going to be in our hearts, and we're in hers. And we thank you that since there's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit, we're still one wherever we are. We thank you for her time here, and we know we'll see her in the future. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.